Blog Talk Radio.
I was just commenting that the chat works, the music works, all the connections work. What is this magic? All the planets must be in alignment. This is the Reverend John St. Germain marveling once again at Blog Talk Roulette. We won it tonight. Well, I guess the evening is early. We still have time for some spectacular failure of some cybernetic sort. And you're listening to the Crystal Silence League, a great disappointment to those of you who wanted to hear worldwide wrestling commentary live. And there's still time to correct that, too. You know, you can go to the other channel or stick around and listen to the jolly antics of the spiritual realm for your edification and enjoyment. Gosh, tonight we have a good show. We're going to talk about sphalerite, which is an interesting crystal. And we're going to pray and we're going to talk about the miracles of the mind and what it can accomplish, and the power of the spirit. We might make commentary about COVID-19 even, and things to do about it, and which is really stay at home and try to avoid it, and other things tonight. It's going to be a good evening. We have good weather here. Had a little bit of rain, which was good for the gentle plants and birds. You know, birds like rain. They don't like that rain with a 60 mile per hour wind that we get, but they do like rain. And our flowers like it. My rose bushes are blooming and everything's pretty good. You know, I turned 60 this month, by the way, at the end of the month. And I'm a Gemini on the Taurus cusp. And boy, is that a volatile mixture. You get the flexibility of the Gemini and the stubbornness of the Taurus bull. And it's a very interesting thing. And turning 60, to me, is a milestone. No man in my immediate family on my father's side made it to 60. My dad died at 59. His brothers died before then. And grandfather, we don't know about my dad's father. There's no death certificate on him. But before that, where there are death certificates, you're looking at 56, 57, 58. So I beat the odds. The other good thing about it is I'm no longer in danger of dying young, which many of my teachers in junior high and high school predicted. You know, they said, you're one of these guys, you're going to die young the way you live. But see, I beat that prophecy too. So I am a walking miracle. I am a walking testimony that you can beat the expectations of others. I beat a lot of expectations. Everything people told me I would never do, I did. So it was pretty good. I think that's how you motivate me. You just say, you'll never amount to something, so I will. You know, they'll say, you can't do that, and I do. And that's the way to motivate me. I'm a contrarian. That's a word, a contrarian. Crystal Silence League was founded around 1917 by Mr. Claude Alexander Conlon for the purpose of distributing and projecting positive affirmation and prayer to all those in need of such. And he did this through the agency of the Crystal Ball. And we picked up his work when he passed into the silence in 1954. We picked up his work, adepts of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, around 2007, when there was only the Missionary Independent Spiritual Church to do that work. We are now a loosely organized, very loosely organized. If you've ever seen our Board of Bishops meeting, you would know how loosely organized we are. Like, can we meet on Wednesday? I don't know. Can we meet on Thursday? I don't know. Can we meet on Friday? I don't know. Getting us all together, we're all very busy, very loosely organized association of several churches, and you can find us at the Association of Spiritual Churches .org. You can find the Crystal Silence League at www.crystalsilenceleague.org, and you can find all of our different churches at the name of our church. You know, for instance, I'm what's the name of my church? I'm Divine Harmony Spiritual Church .org. You can find Missionary Independent Spiritual Church .org, I think. And you can find our entire list of churches. We have many of them at this point, five or six at this point. Three Altars Church and Carolyn Dye Memorial Shrine and all sorts. We have all sorts. Wonderful pastors at all of them. And it's a great thing. Great thing that we have. We're a small church congregation. I have a small church ministry. I have people come out and say, oh, when do you meet? When do you meet? And I say, you know, my church is 8 feet by 10 feet. They go, yeah. I said, how many people do you think you can fit under that roof? And they go, well, I don't know. I said, two, you know, we get two or three. And I tell them about the radio show. I say, this is our services on the radio show. This is where I preach and call down the Spirit. I preach and call down the Spirit. So that's what we do. And there is no spiritualist church in Knoxville. I think the nearest one is in Nashville. And I thought about buying a building and having a church, but as I pointed out before, you know, I'm 60. If I were 10 years younger, I would do it, but I can't. I just can't do it. I'm too old a dog to learn that trick. And so this is it. You know, this is it. This is where I take my crystal ball and project positive affirmation and prayer to the world. And I do it three times a week. I was doing it every day, but now I do it three times a week in my chapel. I blow a conch horn in the morning. I blow a conch horn to clear the air, and then we get my big crystal ball and blow it. And you can see an altar. I have the Crystal Silence altar where I have all many of my crystal balls gathered together for a daily affirmation as well. Many of us print the prayers out. We print 10 or 12 prayers out from the prayer page, and we put them on our crystal altars and pray over them. It's a wonderful thing to do. It's so uplifting. You may get up on the wrong side of the bed. You're achy. You're tired. And you do that, and you get filled with Spirit when you do this. We, speaking of crystals, we have one we're going to talk about. Sphalerite. How's that for a segue? Sphalerite, which is a beautiful, glittery little crystal. It grows in clumps. You can see a picture of it on the slideshow, unless you're listening to it on some device Well, you don't have pictures, in which case you have to visualize it in your mind. It's like a clump of small crystals stuck together, and it's dark blue, light blue, and clear clumps of crystals. Sometimes you'll find iron in it, which is brown, and it's a very interesting looking thing. It's like someone took a bunch of different colored gravel beads and stuck them together. Very pretty, not expensive. And it's got a lot of very interesting properties. It can help you if you tend to get exhausted because you fret, if you're under a lot of stress, nervousness, fretting, and this wears you out. You're in a high stress job or high stress environment, carry a chunk of this with you. It can help prevent that. There are people who go and go and go and go and go, you know, from morning, noon, and night, and then they collapse. You know, they have burnout. This can help prevent that burnout. It helps regulate your energy. It can help bring you down. It can help ground you if you've been flying very high. There are people who get very excited about things. They get carried away. You know, they get a new job, a new relationship, a new hobby, a new interest, and they pour themselves into it. You know, these are people who are slightly compulsive. They're, you know, like me, I do that. I do the same thing when I'm involved in a project and I get very focused on it. Like my new temple, this the Saint Germain Temple, I pour myself into it and then I'll crash and burn. Sphalerite can help you moderate and govern your energy so you don't do that. You, instead of pouring yourself into it, you do it in bits and pieces, a more sensible level of energy over time. And you'll have all sorts of colors in these. I've seen them in rock shows. And they'll be black, brown, yellow, green, red, clear. There's a type of stone which is all black, and they call it blackjack. And it's got a lot of oxidized iron in it. And, you know, oxidized iron is very good for discharging negative energy. So it's a very interesting stone. It's one of those you know, odd little multi-purpose jack-of-all-trade stones. I saw a display of it once at the Crystalline Light Expo, which is a psychic fair I do locally, and there were so many different types of it. I asked the vendor, I said, I know what this is. This is sphalerite, but what is this? And it was green and red. I said, but what is this? It looks like sphalerite, but it's green and red. She goes, oh, that's sphalerite too. And I said, I'll take both of them. I said, it's wonderful how different they both are. And they give off different heat. You know, the heat that came off of them, the energy was different. And I'll take both of them, and I'll have them to this day. You don't want to put them in a bag together. They'll bump against each other and knock pieces off each other. These pointy stones that have a lot of clusters on them, you want to wrap them up and keep them separately. Anyway, that's sphalerite. It's a wonderful stone. Wonderful stone. If you make elixirs out of it, it's a fairly hard stone. You know, you can make a direct, you know, rinse it off and put it in water. But as I say again and again and again, I don't like to do it directly to the water. You just don't want to drink pieces of stone, especially the stones that have copper in them. And if these stones have green and brown in them, they probably have copper. And I would do it indirectly, put it in a jar, put the jar in the water, then let it suffuse. All right, sphalerite. Sphalerite. Sphay. S-C-S-P-H. Sphay. Sphay. It's hard to say. The Crystal Silence League is a prayer service. We do have a gift shop. You can go buy stuff, buy books and crystals and things. And, you know, if you spend $12 or more, I think. You get a free book. You get the Secrets of the Crystal Silence League, which is a edited compilation of works by Mr. Claude Conlon himself, our founder. There's a couple of books I've written. There's Crystal Magic, which is divination and spell work and magic with crystals, and Lithomancy, which is a book that has more ways to do readings with crystals and bell work with crystals, but it's also got a lot of information on doing readings with other things like coins, rocks and pebbles, and even Valentine candy hearts. Isn't that crazy? And a thing I called Horcrux readings. It was just objects, things like dollhouse props, little miniature things. And I was a person that did that a long time ago before it was a thing on the internet. But these were like miniature books, miniature little statues, and my set has a little liquor bottle in it, a small hand, a small turtle, and I did it in threes. You'd have like three animals, three things that were psychic, three sports things, and anyway, you should look it up. It's an interesting method of divination, and you do a process of elimination where people divide the pile into pieces. It's very interesting. I call it a Horcrux reading, you know, from the Harry Potter stuff, because they were magical objects. And those are two very interesting books. Nothing new was written. There was no new Crystal Silence League literature for, 50 years. This was the first new literature for the Crystal Silence League for like 50 years. You know, until we dove in, they came to me, Catherine and Deacon Milt said, why don't you write a new book for the Crystal Silence League? I said, you know what you're asking me to do? No one has written anything for the Crystal Silence League. No one's expanded on Claude Conlon's work since, when, the 1940s or something. And, I said, do you know what you're asking me to do? And I had to think about it for almost a year and make notes. It took a while. It took me a while to tackle that, but I did. And those two books were the result. If you go to www.crystalsilenceleague.org and go to the prayer request page, we get anywhere from 100 to 200 prayers a week posted there. And prayer is always free at the Crystal Silence League. And I'm going to read some of these. We have a few people who post, six or seven iterations of the same prayer. I'm not going to read all those. I pulled up 20 prayers, and it's like three people had pulled up. They had bogarted the whole prayer page. So today I've pulled up 40, but I'm not going to read them all. I'm just going to. It took 40 of them so I could get a representative selection of prayers. So I'm just going to go through and read a few prayer ID numbers, not names. So we have prayer ID number 93442, who says, please pray for me. Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish upon us the work of our hands. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it. Which is Psalm 90. Amen. Then we have prayer ID 93441, who also gives us a psalm, Psalm 18, verses 36 through 40. Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them, neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. They are fallen under my feet, for thou hast girded me with strength into the battle. Thou hast subdued under me those that rose up against me. Thou hast also given me the necks of mine enemies, that I might destroy them that hate me. Thank you. May God be glorified. Amen. This is the Old Testament version of Haters Gotta Hate. That's the Old Testament version. Prayer ID 93440, who prays, quickly and prosperously sell my mobile home and property. Amen. I know this guy. He's a really great guy. He's a great guy. I hope he sells that home. Prayer ID 93438. My good spirits, ancestors, love and thank you, Saints Anthony Expediti, Jude Michael, Saints Martin Deported, Francis of Assisi. Let all animals be blessed and protected. Amen. God love the little animals. Prayer ID 93437. Let me be blessed and protected. Oh, the same guy, but you know what? What the heck? He prayed for the animals. We'll give him a free one. Let me be blessed, protected by good spirits and ancestors. Love and thank you, Saints Anthony Expediti, Jude, Michael, Saints Martin de Porres, and Francis of Assisi. Amen. Here we go. Prayer ID 93434. Anybody that prays for animals, they get a free one. May my nephew H be returned home, safe from harm. May my sister M be more proactive with whom she allows to take her kids. Oh, dear. May H be able to speak about any wrongdoings. Ashe. Oh, dear. Prayer ID 93431. May my family and I be blessed with abundance, radiant health, adventure, love, wisdom, trust, and divine purpose. May we share a strong family connection and support each other in a healthy, loving way all the days of our lives. May God bless you. Thank you so much for your thoughts and prayers. Amen. And prayer ID 93430. May W navigate his mental health with success, hope, and love. May God guide him on his journey, and may W feel that support and blessings. May W be free and clear of his depression now and always. May God bless you and thank you for your prayers. Amen. Well, what have we here? Prayer ID 93426. Prayer. DMM will hold JMM. Believe it or not, those are not the same names. In his arms again as soon as possible. D can't wait to hold J in his arms again as soon as possible. And he misses and loves her so much, just as much as he knows she misses and loves him so much as well. They both cannot wait to be back in each other's arms again as soon as possible. Amen. Well, may the fates reunite these two lovers. Prayer ID 93420. I receive that my job account with VIPK is reinstated immediately, allowing me to continue to work with this company. I love being a part of this company. Amen. And prayer ID 93419. Please pray for me to lose weight. Amen. And prayer ID 93418. I will be defending my MA thesis in 2 days. And that will be exactly, it's a prayer today, so it will be in 2 days. I pray to have the courage and clarity to articulate my ideas. It'd be no good if this was posted like, you know, a week ago. I pray to have the courage and clarity to articulate my ideas and to address any questions regarding my work. I pray that my panel members will be kind. I pray that I'll be able to defend successfully and finally get my MA degree. Amen. I think we have just a couple left here. Prayer ID 93415. I need help with the wisdom to discern what the next steps in my spiritual journey should be, and then finding the mental and physical energy to see them through. Amen. Prayer ID 93414. This is about dating. My friends, Jay and T, are dating but are already having problems in the blooming of their relationship and have only just begun. And Jay has a drinking problem that only seems to intensify, unhealthy emotions and insecurities. Prayer is needed that the two of them are traveling together next week for a week or so, and on their travels that they will have peace, safety, love, understanding, and trust for one another and become closer in love. Amen. I'm just going to keep my opinion to myself about that. Prayer ID 93409. I pray that S pursues me and gives me the attention I deserve, that she shows me that she doesn't want to lose me. Amen. Let's just do one more. Let's see. Prayer ID 93404. Father God, I'm coming to you asking that you work things out between me and JH. I ask that JH totally forgives me. JH, not the same name. I ask that we be blessed with a fresh start. Lord, touch his heart and let him open it to me. I thank you in advance for everything you do. Amen. Let's have a moment of silent prayer for everything and everybody that needs affirmation, help, and love. Amen. I was trying to figure out what to talk about today. It's not that I can't think of anything to talk about. I just have so much to talk about. And after over 200 shows, I still have a lot to talk about. The reason is because the subject of spirituality, the subject of the mind, it's infinite. Just where to begin? You know, where, just pick a spot. Pick a spot. Pick a topic. Pick where to be. Just, you know, believe me, if you know me, I'm never at a loss for words. I'm never. And it's because it's so exciting. It is just so exciting. When I'm on the LMC radio hour, you know, Miss Cat is always saying, slow down, slow down, back up a little. But let's talk about, this is something I've been thinking about lately. Your mind works like a syllogism. Do you know what a syllogism is? A syllogism is a type of, argument used in, logic. It's a three-point argument. It's what you learn when you're writing theses, a thesis in school, a thesis. For instance, you make a thesis like Buddha taught. He said, all conditioned things, all formed things, all created things change and pass away. All conditioned things in existence are impermanent. They change and pass away. Therefore, you can say, just pick something, your house, the pyramids of Egypt, the Eiffel Tower, the Empire State Building are formed things. They're created things. Therefore, someday the pyramids, the Eiffel Tower, the Empire State Building will pass away. Right? Cannot be denied. If your premise is true, if the first statement is true, that's your premise, that's your true statement, then the conclusion must be true. That's what a syllogism is. You can make a an abstract, a philosophical statement. Every virtue is commendable. Every virtue is commendable. Kindness is a virtue. Therefore, kindness is commendable. Right? Courage is a virtue. Every virtue is commendable. Therefore, courage is commendable. If you assume that the premise is true, then you're going to assume that the conclusion is true. That's what a syllogism is. The first statement's referred to as your major premise, and much of science is based on that. Much of science is based on it. Gravity is a fundamental quality of matter. That's a major premise, right? Time moves along the arrow of entropy. Yeah, that's a major premise. So the right conclusion must necessarily follow the right premise. This is how we think. But if the premise is wrong, then the conclusion will be wrong. And believe me, it's got nothing to do with intelligence. Very intelligent people can have wrong premises. Nothing to do with intelligence. So, I've known very intelligent people whose lives are totally topsy-turvy because of wrong premises. I have done it. And by many accounts, I'm an intelligent person. I've got lots of college degrees and lots of certifications, and I've learned a lot of things, and I've done a lot of things, and I've read more books than the library. But I've done some very dumb things based on faulty premises. So we can change the way we think by changing what we accept as a major premise. So you form an overall picture of how you want your life to be. The way you want your life to be is the conclusion. And then you formulate major premises that get you in that direction. So an easy way to do this is that you understand that the divine intelligence, the divine power, God, has infinite intelligence. And the conclusions of this divine intelligence, because this divine intelligence is omniscient, must be correct. So if we do repeat these things, that infinite intelligence guides me and leads me in all my ways, that perfect health and balance, the law of harmony operates in mind and body, that beauty and love and peace and abundance are already mine, I'm just getting in the way of it. These principles of right action and divine order govern my entire life. I know my major premise is based on the eternal truths of life, and I know and I feel and I believe that my subconscious mind will respond according to the nature of what my conscious mind is trying to tell it. If you do this, you'll find that the various subcomponents of your life begin to change. Because the subconscious mind does not argue in a controversial manner, you know, like people do on the internet. Your subconscious mind is pretty wise. Most psychologists, starting with Freud, understands that there's a subconscious and something that seems to be unconscious. The unconscious isn't considered to really exist, but there's something. A layer that will come out if you try to ignore discontinuities in your logic and in your life, when you're not paying attention, your mind will, there's something under there that will remind you. But if you assume that your subconscious knows all the answers to what's bugging you, it doesn't argue with you or talk back to you. It doesn't say, you must not impress me with all this. when you say I can't do this, or I'm too old to do this, or I can't meet this obligation, I don't have the guts or the energy or the intelligence. If you say I was born in the wrong neighborhood, I was born under a bad star, I don't have the right astrological sign to be successful, I don't know the right people, you're impregnating your subconscious mind with these negative thoughts, and it will respond accordingly. It's a wrong premise. You're actually blocking your own good thoughts and bringing lack and limitation and frustration into your life. You're doing it yourself. No one's doing it to you. And I'll tell you, I've had some people really argue with me about that. Oh, no, no, my parents. No, it wasn't your parents. Oh, no, my teacher. No, it wasn't your teachers. And so when you set up these obstacles and impediments and delays in your conscious mind, you're denying the wisdom and intelligence that's already resident in your subconscious. It's already there. It said in Buddhism that you have the Buddha nature already in you. You have perfection, enlightenment already in you. Get out of the way. You're actually saying, in effect, that your subconscious mind cannot solve your problems. You're saying your subconscious mind cannot solve your problems. And this leads to a mental and emotional congestion, which will be followed by a sickness and a neurotic way of life. And to realize your desires and to overcome your frustrations, affirm with great confidence as best you can. I'm not going to say you're going to have superpowers. If you've had a lifetime of frustration, and you know, I've had people just sit in front of me and go, oh, no, no, I'll never be successful. I'll never find love. I was born under an unlucky star. Everything I touch just turns to crap. And I'm just, look at what you're doing. You know, just look at what you're doing. What you send out is going to surely come back. But affirm as boldly as you can several times a day. The infinite intelligence, if the word God sticks in your throat, you know, and I can understand why. I see it on the internet every day. People are posting articles about some idiot, you know, who says the blood of God will cure COVID-19. Don't worry about it. God wants everybody to be blonde-haired, blue-eyed, Aryan. God hates gays. Ignore those people. They don't need to be, first of all, they don't need to be putting it on the internet. They don't even need to be giving these people the time of day. They don't need to be giving them publicity. These are bigots and idiots. You don't need to have these people in your life. You don't need to be reading those articles. You don't need to be saying the things you're saying about them. You know, how we know they're idiots. You know, these people are calling down failure, and you know, they're attracting people to themselves who are afraid and who are what a friend of mine used to call low people. They're low people. You don't need them. You don't need them in your life. You're not going to save them. You're not going to educate them. No, you're not going to do that. But you're saying, in effect, when you fill your life with this kind of stuff, that your subconscious can't solve your problems. So if you keep saying the infinite intelligence, God, the divine mind, which gave me this desire to be better anyway, leads and guides and reveals to me the perfect plan for the unfolding of this desire. If the desire exists, the plan exists. If you have the desire at all to get better, the answer to get better, how to do it, the means, the opportunity is there. I know the deeper wisdom of my subconscious is now responding. And what I feel and claim within is being expressed in the without. Internal states manifest externally. That's the law. That is the law. There's a balance. There's an equilibrium. And this must be carried out with equanimity. You got to have that calm. That calm and joyous expectation that this miracle is going to occur. But if you say, there's no way out. I'm lost. There's no way out of this dilemma. I'm completely stymied. I'm blocked. There's no happiness for me. You'll get no answer or no response from your subconscious mind. It will believe you. And if you want the subconscious to work for you, give it the right request and attain its cooperation. Make your subconscious your partner. This is why the people that are successful they tell you, they say, don't say, you know, I can't afford this. Ask yourself, how can I afford it? Activate your brain. Activate your subconscious. And don't expect an answer immediately. If you don't get an answer immediately, don't say, well, didn't work. I don't know. Give it time. Activate it. Say, well, how can I afford this? Don't say, I can't do this. Say, what do I need to do to make this happen? And then let it wait. The answer will come to you. Let it wait. Turn a statement into a question. Turn it into a challenge. You know, don't say, well, you know, I can't do this. How do I do it? Don't turn a don't into a can. I always tell people, reverse the statement. If you say, well, I can't do this, say, I can do it. Not what do I need to do it? How do I get what do I need to do to get the resources to do this? And you'll find, oddly enough, most people will all of a sudden become an idea factory. All of a sudden, you get these ideas. Most people will. Now, there are people who are so ingrained in the habit of not doing this, they'll fiddle around. I say they get their phone out and start fiddling, or they go on the internet and say, "Hey, do you guys have some ideas?" And that's not what you should do. Not you're turning over responsibility of thinking to other people. You should train your mind. You know, train your mind to do it. So when you're seeking answers to problems, your subconscious will respond, but it expects you to come to a decision at some point and to a true judgment in your conscious mind. And you must do this. You must acknowledge the answer is in your subconscious mind. You have to know it's there. You're not going to find the needle in the haystack unless you look for it. But if you say, I don't think there is any way out, I'm all mixed up, I'm all confused, why don't I get an answer? You're neutralizing your prayer. You don't get anywhere. You're just walking in a big circle. Now, I'll tell you that the subconscious will be your partner. It's always working for you. It's always looking for a way out. Think about all the things your body does. If you cut your finger, it heals it. You don't even have to think about it. It controls your heartbeat. It controls your breathing. Even when you're asleep, the whole body, your mind is working for you. It's always trying to take care of you and preserve you. The mind is the same way. The mind tries to take care of you just like your body does. It's always trying to take you into a healthy and happy and productive life. It's not natural to be unhappy and unhealthy and fretful. These are things that we learn and we do it to ourselves. So if you think good and happy will follow. If you think evil will follow you. You're what you think most of the time. What you dwell on most of the time is what you become. Your subconscious mind doesn't argue with you. It accepts what your conscious mind tells you. If you say, I can't afford it, it may be true, but don't say it. Select a better thought. You know, select a better thought, a more proactive thought. And you do have the power to choose. You know, you choose health and happiness. You can choose to be friendly or you can choose to be unfriendly. It's not out of your control. These reactions are not out of your control. Sometimes it takes practice. You get into a habit. You get into a habit of being very reactive. And it is a habit, and it takes practice to get out of a habit. You can choose to be cooperative. You can choose to be joyous. You can choose to be friendly. You can choose to be lovable. And the world will respond to this. And it's the best way to develop a wonderful personality. I'll tell you this. And I was thinking about this because I know some young people, and every time they go out and come back, they tell these stories about how they got into some confrontation with somebody. Oh, the person down at this store, they were so rude to us. And then I said to them, well, this and this and this. And then the people behind us were like, good, that's good that you said that. And then they'll go to a place to get a hamburger or McDonald's. And say, well, oh, the person behind the counter, they were awful. And they got the order wrong. And I had to tell them off. And I had to do that. Everywhere they go, it's like this. Everywhere they go. And, you know, these two people, young people, they talk each other up. They encourage each other to do this. Oh, I went to this place to get a to get a screwdriver, and the guy behind the counter, he was so rude to me. And then I told him off and told him I'd tell his manager. Everywhere they go, it's like this. Now, I think it might be part of the a certain part of the generation who likes to get on the internet and look for reasons to argue and criticize. But that doesn't happen to me. It doesn't happen to my wife. It doesn't. We don't get into confrontations like that. Now, I'll tell you that when I was younger, when I was 18, I think, oh, I'm 18. No one's going to mess with me now. Oh, no, I'm not going to take any crap from anybody. And I had a chip on my shoulder. I did get into some confrontations. I became a part-time performer. I was doing card tricks in bars and things like that. And I got into it. People say something to me, I'd snap back at them. I thought I was very clever, very sarcastic. And then a friend of mine, who was also a magician, said, John, you need to read this book. And he gave me a book called How to Win Friends and Influence People. He said, you need to read this book. He said, because you're not going to get anywhere the way you are now. You're not going to. This was an older guy. He had passed away. He's passed away now, but he did me the greatest favor of my life. He gave me this book, and I read this book, and it said things like, if a policeman pulls you over, don't be confrontational. You say, thank you, officer. I was speeding. You know, thank you for giving me this ticket. You're right for pulling me over. And I can't imagine these young kids doing that. They get snippy with the cop. They argue with the cop. They say, well, you don't have the right to pull me over. And to this day, this is what I do with policemen. And most of the time, they just let me go. You know, I'll say, good day, officer. You know, what was I doing? Well, you were driving with the speed limit. I said, oh, I'm really sorry. I wasn't paying attention to it, I guess. Now, usually I drive right at the speed limit. I put it right at the speed limit. But I said, well, thank you. I didn't realize I was. You know, thanks for reminding me of that. You know, I don't want to do anything dangerous. And you know, they say, well, you know, you're not, I can tell you've not been drinking or anything, you know, just go on. And most of the time they, you know, but, you know, the point of Dale Carnegie's wonderful book, which was groundbreaking at the time, is that everybody has something going on in their life. And the other person who's yelling at you or something, you don't know what's going on in their life. You know, their wife or husband might've just died or something. You don't know anything about them, why they're striking out. They may be in a great deal of pain, and probably they are. You know, the guy that flips you off in traffic, he may have just got fired. You know, you don't know. That's the thing. You develop an empathetic reaction. But you know, I was reading this book, and I said, how humiliating it would be. I said, how humiliating would it be to, you know, somebody yells at you to not yell back and flip them off and say, well, come over here, I'll kick your ass, and this sort of thing. But then I started thinking about it, and I said, well, this guy that gave me this book was really successful. I mean, he was really successful, and I wasn't, you know, and I said, well, you know, maybe he's got a point here. And I started, even though it, to me, being really cocky and full of myself, which means I wasn't, right? You know, it's, you know, people that are like that aren't. I started doing it, and it was such a good feeling that you could turn someone around. You know, somebody's angry at you and they say something, and you know, you just say something like, you know, I understand why you're mad. You know, if I were, and this is a Dale Carnegie thing, I understand why you're mad. If I were you, if I were in your shoes, I'd be mad too. That's a Dale Carnegie thing right out of that book. And people, all of a sudden their face relaxes and you go, well, you know, I would just like, you know, to have this taken care of. I said, I'll help you with that. I'll help you take care of it. And they don't know what to do. You know, it's like, oh, he's not going to. But you know what? People don't do that now. People just don't do that now. When I run into someone that actually does that, I'm so happy. I said, they know how to empathize with someone. And, but see, that's not what I'm seeing happen. You know, it's like, how dare you talk to me? You know, how dare you complain to me? How dare you, because of this, and I'm going to use the word entitlement, this entitlement. And when the symptom is this, when, you know, there are people who say these people with a lot of money, prosperous people don't deserve their money. You know, we live in a country where you can start a business and make a lot of money. And, you know, my response is, if you don't like working for someone who owns a business and makes a lot of money, you live in a country where you can start your own business and then people can work for you. And then they can hate you because you own a business and make lots of money. Then, you know, they can hate you and get on Facebook and talk about you and how you don't deserve the money that you earned by owning your own business. So you can get on the other side of that. And what we learn as we go through life and we stop projecting our pain onto other people, because our pain diminishes because we quit telling our subconscious what schmucks we are. The conscious mind is like the watchman at the gate. Its chief function is to protect your subconscious mind from false impressions. So if you choose to believe that something good can happen to you and that it is happening to you now, your greatest power is your capacity to choose. And that book, that one book that my friend gave me, and what a wonderful gift that was, showed me that you can choose happiness and abundance simply by being nice to people. If you give people what they want, which is courtesy and attention, it says it in the Bible, do unto others what you would have others do unto you. So these suggestions and statements of others have no power to hurt you. The only power is the movement of your own thoughts. You can choose to reject the thoughts and statements of others and just affirm the good. You can selectively let people in. You have the power to choose how you'll react. So watch what you say. Be mindful. Yet you have to account for every word you say. Never say, I'll fail, I'll lose my job, I can't pay the rent. Your subconscious cannot take a joke. Your subconscious has no sense of humor. It brings all these things to pass and will make them happen. So your mind is not evil. No force in nature is evil. It depends on how you use the powers in nature. So use your mind to bless, use your mind to heal, and use your mind to inspire yourself and others. And you know what? I got to stop for station identification because we're running out of time. Got to pay the bills.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance whose excellent shows include The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour with Catherine Ironwood and Conjurman Ollie, Sundays, 3 to 4:30. The Crystal Silence League Hour with John St. Germain, Tuesdays, 5 to 6. The Witch, the Priestess, and the Cauldron with Elvira Love and Phoenix LaFay, Fridays, 1 to 2. And Blue Flag Root Radio with Lady Muse, Fridays, 7 to 8. All time specific, add 3 hours for Eastern, sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com.
And we're back. Your mind is not evil. Your mind is not evil. Your mind, you know, I can't. You know, when say something like, people go, well, what about sociopaths? What about people that kill each body? People like to nitpick your statements and sift it looking for exceptions. I'm not talking about Hannibal Lecter. I'm talking about you. Your mind is not evil. My mind is not evil. I've never killed anybody. You know, I'm presuming you didn't either. Yeah, we're down to 5 minutes. Use your mind to bless, heal, and inspire. Never say I can't. Overcome that fear by substituting I can do all things through the power of my own subconscious mind. And if you begin to think from the standpoint of the eternal truths and principles of life and not from the standpoint of fear, ignorance, and superstition, you'll never let others do your thinking for you. Choose your own thoughts and make your own decisions, because as it is said, you are the captain of your soul and you are the master of your fate. And remember, you have the capacity to choose. And you can choose life, and you can choose love, and you can choose health, and you can choose happiness. And whatever your conscious mind assumes and believes to be true, your subconscious mind will accept and bring to pass. And surely the cart follows the horse, not the other way around. if you believe in good fortune and divine guidance and right action and all the blessings of life, surely they will come to you. You'll call them to you. You'll never have to depend on anyone else to give you anything. You surely don't need the approval of anyone else except your own conscious mind. Believe in true statements, not false. Don't look to anybody else to tell you the truth either. You find it yourself. You find it yourself. Don't rely on authorities. Don't rely on the written word. Don't rely on religious figures. Don't rely on established authorities. Don't rely on tradition. Don't rely on something because it sounds good. Don't rely on something because it comforts you. Question your own beliefs. There are going to be times, as I said before, this belief is something I was taught, but it makes me unhappy. If I let it go, it would make my parents unhappy. It would make my teachers unhappy. It might even make everyone I know unhappy. But if I let it go, I'll be happy because I just don't think it's true. And that is a great conflict within us. But, you know, to thine own self be true and tell your subconscious mind the truth, and the conclusions will also be true. Because the power of your subconscious is enormous. It inspires you, it guides you, and it reveals to you names, facts, and scenes from the storehouse of your memory. It was your subconscious that started your heartbeat. It controls the circulation of your blood, regulates your digestion, and everything else. When you eat a piece of bread, your subconscious mind transmutes it into the very flesh, muscle, bone, and blood. Nobody understands how this works. Your subconscious mind controls all the vital processes and functions of your body and knows the answer to all your problems. Trust it. Trust it. We'll talk again next time. You know we will. Reverend loves you. Bye.
Tell it to you plain. We are in a difficult position. Reverend St. Germain gave me what we need for our condition. Cinnamon and cloves in a sugar box with five finger grasses. I keep it by the stove for stirring coffee thicker than molasses. He shepherds the church of divine harmony, serving the lost lands of Knoxville, Tennessee. Faithfully prays with the crystal silently. Faithfully prays with the crystal silently.